The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
It's Easter Sunday, it's Resurrection Sunday, and over the past couple weeks, we've been looking and kind of talking about this idea. We've been looking through 1 Corinthians 15, so if you've got your copies of the scripture or your Bible with you this morning, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and what we've been talking about is this: if the gospel, if what you and I claim to be is true, nothing else matters. And what we mean by that is this, is if we really believe this, if the gospel that we say changed our life, that Christ died, buried, rose from the dead on the third day, if all that is actually true, then nothing that you and I face in life matters. We started out the first week and we talked about how if our belief is not accompanied by action, then nothing else matters because our faith is effective, but it's not impactful. We were saved, great, but that's it. Nothing else happens. And then the next week we talked about the fact that because of the spiritual and physical resurrection of Christ, we have hope. You and I have hope because of the fact that Christ rose from the dead on the third day. That's why we're here, to celebrate Easter. That's why you got up this morning and came and got your Easter colors, and Brother Eddie, your green shirt. That's why you got it on, man, is because it's Easter and you're here to celebrate. And it's hope that you and I found. But we also talked about how last week, because of the resurrection, everything that you and I do in life matters more. Because of the fact that Christ rose from the dead on the third day, it gives meaning to everything that you and I will face or experience or go through in life. In fact, it matters so much more that in light of it or compared to it, nothing else matters. Now, that's my preacher talk. That's my, like, I've got to do that because it's Easter morning, but I'm going to come down here and I'm going to talk to you just as a person today. Great words, right? But what do they really mean? I mean, like, how many of you guys have woken up one morning and said, you know what? Oh, my knees don't work quite. And just my back. Oh. But you know what? God rose from the dead, so let me get stretched up and go. How many of you did that? It's so hard to do, isn't it? Or how many of you guys are facing a problem? You're facing a difficulty. You've got that bad news. You got that job that failed you or something like that. And instead of like doing what normal people do, you sat back and said, well, praise God, God rose from the dead. No, that's not what we do. Because as true as these words are, there's still something missing, right? There's still a problem. There's still some kind of difficulty that goes on in life. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 15, I believe it's verse 26, Paul writes this and he says, the last enemy to be destroyed will be death. And so while all those things are true, there's still this looming problem of death that's over everyone, right? If you're here right now and you ate Kelvin's breakfast and you've made it to service now, you're not dead. Everything's good. Everybody look around real quick. Poke your neighbor. Everybody's good. Okay, good. All right. Everyone's alive. So there's still this looming problem of death. Death is still out there. And death is something that still affects every single one of us. It's the paradigm that you and I live in, because unfortunately, while we know that the resurrection changes things and we know that there's hope in the resurrection of Christ, you and I still have to face death. We have to face physical death. We still have to face spiritual death. We still have to face those things because life still happens. So today, what I want to talk to you guys about is how nothing else matters. Because while the resurrection means everything, the battle is still ongoing. You all know what I mean by that? There's still a battle that's going on, right? And what things do we battle? We battle the flesh. Now, this isn't the churchy flesh that we, you know, sometimes when you come to church, they say the flesh, and it's like, ah, sin. This is the flesh. You realize your body is deteriorating? Yeah, okay, good. I was like, some of y'all got some energy juice or something. I don't know. We all feel it, don't we? I was telling my wife the other day, I said, for the first time in my life, I feel how old I am. 33 is hitting me. No, I'm just joking. I feel old. Like it's hard to wake up. Like if I stay up late at night, like I have a hard time waking up the next day. If I sleep wrong, I can't move for a week. Like what happened to me? I used to be the guy who could go and like play hours of volleyball and soccer and never feel a thing. Well, I'm battling my flesh. My flesh is deteriorating. My body is dying. And I hate to tell you this, but your body is too. All of us have the same problem. We're all facing death. We're all facing the fact that our bodies, our flesh, our physical being is deteriorating. That's not the only thing we're battling, though. We're also battling spiritual flesh or sin. You know what I mean by that? Like, you know the right thing to do, but what do? The wrong thing. I know I shouldn't get mad. I know I shouldn't lose my temper. I know I shouldn't do this. I know I shouldn't say that. I know I shouldn't think these things, but then the next thing you know, we do. And there's this constant battle going on between our physical flesh, our spiritual sin in our life, and there's this ongoing battle for all of us. Y'all ever get so tired of fighting that it just doesn't seem worth it anymore? I'll give you, for instance, because my wife's not here, so I can say this about her. She's in the nursery. She'll be all right. We would like, y'all ever start an argument? And then all of a sudden, what you argued about kind of spilled over into the next day, and you keep arguing about the first thing, but it's like 3 days later, and then like a week later, you're still arguing and you're still mad at each other, but you have absolutely no clue why you're arguing anymore? Anybody? Okay, good. I was like, man, if I'm the only one, like I'm doing something way wrong. I find myself getting so tired of fighting that this is me. After a week of fighting with my wife over something stupid, like the fact that I didn't brush my hair down the drain or something silly like that, I just said, you know what? You're right. I don't even know what I did. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. Okay. Guys, learn that. It's a miracle worker. But you get so tired of fighting that what do? You give up. But it's not just in relationships and in funny stuff, is it? Y'all ever just get so tired of fighting in life? I mean, you just get done. Your body doesn't work the way you want it to. You have doctor's appointments and they tell you news that you don't want to hear. Spiritually, you're just drained. You're exhausted. You try to do the right things, but the more you try to do the right things, the wrong things continue to happen. And it just seems like you're always fighting and you're always battling and you just want to give up. Paul writes about that in 1 Corinthians 2 in chapter 15. He says this, I believe it's verse number 14. And if Christ has not been raised from the dead, then all of our preaching and is useless, and so is your faith. If that's not true, I'm wasting your time. I'm wasting my time. And can I, for transparency's sake, I gotta tell y'all this. For whatever reason, that was this week for me. Like a ton of bricks, man. It hit me, and I was like, what in the world am I doing with my life? Why am I in the middle of Louisiana? I don't even know how to spell Louisiana sometimes. You guys have parishes. I've never had a parish in my entire life. I grew up in counties the way that the world's supposed to work. Why am I here? Why am I doing all this stuff? Thank you, Victor. But then this came up. We don't fight the same way. Here's what I mean by that. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 58, if you've got your listening guides or your notes, it's in there. If not, it's in your Bible. He says this, I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised, imperishable, and we will be changed. For a perishable must clothe itself with imperishable, and mortal with immortality. When perishable things have clothed themselves with imperishable, and mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gave us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, stand firm and let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's almost like we've got an unfair advantage. It's almost like we have this thing about us that's completely different, and it changes everything, doesn't it? It changes so much, because the way that you and I have to fight is completely different from everyone else. Paul talks about it in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. He says this: once I thought these things were valuable, but I don't consider them that way anymore because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have declared everything else garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through my faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I'll experience the resurrection from the dead. What all that says is this, is that the way you and I fight is different, because we don't have to fight to win the battle. The battle's already been won. We get to fight from victory. Now, that's an interesting place to fight from, because again, when I'm fighting with my wife, there's a slim, slim, slim chance I'm wrong. But on the rare occasions I know I'm right, I go into that fight completely different. Why? Because I know I'm right. I can't lose. That's where we get to fight as a Christian in our faith. Because Christ rose from the dead, the resurrected power that rose Christ from the dead is at work in your life, giving you victory in everything. I need to say that again. The resurrected power of Christ that rose him from the dead is working in your life to give you victory in everything. All right? Now hang on, because he also says this: if only in this life we have hope of Christ, we of all people are most pitied. In other words, okay, great, we've got hope in Christ for this life. What does that actually mean, John? What, that's great church talk. That's wonderful words. Thank you so much for that. Let me go home and eat my ham or whatever I'm eating today. But it says this in 1 Corinthians 15, also in verse 55. He says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Because we've already won, we can focus on what really matters. It's the fact that the ability to care less gives you more power. You understand what that means? See, if I know I already win, I'm not worried about what's happening in life. Why? Because I've already won. I don't have to care about those things. I don't have to worry about those things. I can look at life and say nothing else matters in this life except for knowing Christ. And that gives me the power and the ability to live a truly free life. I wonder how many of us are actually living truly free lives. I think a lot of us, man, we care too much. We care too much what the neighbors think. We care too much what the grandparents think. Some of you, that's the only reason you're here right now on Easter Sunday, is because you care what somebody else thinks about you. Don't get me wrong, I'm so glad you're here. But let me tell you that in Christ, when you understand the resurrected power of Christ, it gives you the ability to care less. Because you don't have to impress anybody. You don't have to live to anyone else's standards. All you have to do is win in Christ. All right, how do we win in Christ? Because there's still this thing called death. So how does that actually work? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22 says this: For as in Adam all died, so also in Christ all are made alive. See, the resurrection gave us victory over physical death, because it is not the end. As a follower of Christ, you know that the 70, 80, 90, 150 years that you get on the earth is not the end. You have something that comes after this. You have eternal life. You have an eternity to spend with Christ. Your loved ones, your neighbors, your friends, all those people, the people that are in this room with you right now, one day we're going to be singing in a giant choir in heaven together, celebrating the resurrection like never before. And so it gives us victory over the physical parts of death because you realize that it's not the end. Y'all ever been to the funeral of somebody who you didn't know if they were saved or not? Tough, isn't it? Because for them, it really is goodbye. It's not, I'll see you later. It's not, hey, next year or when I get there, we're going to meet up outside the pearly gates. I've got a buddy I told you guys about, Garrett, before. I really believe Garrett saved. Garrett committed suicide a couple years ago, but I truly believe that Garrett was saved. And I'll never forget when I found out he died. I had a conversation with him in my head. And Garrett and I used to love to surf together. And I was like, hey, man, listen, I can't wait to get to heaven and surf that glassy sea with you. Now, is there going to be actually surfing in heaven? I have no idea. But the reality is we all look forward to that. And so because of Christ's resurrection, you and I understand that physical death is not the end. There's more to come after that. That's awesome for someday, but what about right now, right? Great, so we have something in the future to look forward to. But again, that doesn't fix right now. That doesn't fix the problems I'm going through. That doesn't fix the issues that I have. That doesn't fix any of those things. Those battles we talked about in the beginning, why should we keep fighting them if our only hope is so far in the future? But through the resurrection, we have victory over sin and spiritual death because Christ has redeemed us as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 56 and 7 say this: the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So while the battle may be going on, our perspective is very different in how we fight now. Now we fight knowing we've already won. Y'all ever have a physical battle? How about a mental battle? Emotional? Spiritual? Man, this morning, sunrise service whooped this boy's tail. My alarm clock went off. Nora was in our bed already, and she said, hey, Dad, is that the alarm? We're supposed to get up and go. I said, no, baby, just 5 more minutes. Go back to sleep. I can promise you this. Every single one of us has a battle that you're facing right now. There's not a single person who walked through that door or this door or this door who doesn't have a battle that they're facing. Some of you are facing emotional battles. I mean, there are parts of your life that emotionally are dead. You know what I mean? Hurt me once, shame on you. Hurt me twice, I'm cutting you off and we're not going there again. Some of you have mental battles that are going on where man, the battle for your mind is taking over. And the thoughts that you have are so dark, so depressing, so difficult to deal with. Some of you are having physical battles. Literally getting up and moving is a struggle for you. And it debilitates you so bad that you feel like you can't do anything. Some of you are having spiritual battles. There's stuff going on in your life. God's talking to you about things that you need to do or things that you don't need to do or whatever the issue is. And you're denying it and you're running from it and you're fighting it. And there's spiritual battles going on in your life. And every single one of those situations, can I tell you something great? You've already won. By the resurrected power of Christ at work in your life, you've already won. You don't have to fight to win that battle. The battle's already been won. You got to figure out how to use that battle to glorify God. That's all you got to do. If we give those battles to Christ, the power of the resurrection, he brings those things in our life. He brings us those things in our life, but he uses them to glorify himself. So now you and I get to stand in victory That's the gospel, and nothing can move us from that. Verse number 58 says this, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that the labor in the Lord is not in vain." We don't have to worry or care about the battles because we have a guaranteed victory in Christ. Now listen, when you hear that, some of you may say, "Well, John, that's kind of prosperity gospel." Y'all know what prosperity gospel is? If you accept Jesus, everything goes good in your life. Y'all ever hear people say those things? But it's not. And here's the difference. Prosperity gospel teaches you that because if you accept Christ, everything goes good in your life. What I'm telling you is when you accept Christ, when you receive the gospel, when you let it transform your life, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have no problems. It changes your perspective. It's perspective gospel. Because now all of a sudden, I realize that I'm not fighting to win. The reason I do what I do, the reason I get up, the reason I go through life, the reason I fight the battles I fight is not so that I can win. It's so that God can become glorified through what I'm going through. And so it changes my perspective. And so when I go into a battle, I'm not worried about fighting. I'm not worried about winning. I'm not worried about the battle itself. I'm fighting from a different perspective because I know I've already won. What Paul says here is let nothing move you. Church, what that means is this. If you truly believe this, if you got up this morning, if you said, he is risen indeed, you proclaimed that, you put on your Easter Sunday best, you put on your green shirt, you put on whatever dress you have that's gorgeous, and you came to church this morning because you believe the resurrection is real, because the tomb is empty, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Yeah, but Brother John, you don't know what... No, I don't, but it doesn't matter. Yeah, but I did... No, it doesn't matter. But I'm going through... No, I know it doesn't matter. I can look you in the face, church, and I can promise you from the depths of my soul that nothing matters compared to Christ. That empty tomb changed everything because it brought the dead parts of me back to life. It brought the broken, the sinful, the despised and wretched stuff in my life. It brought back that to life in a way that glorifies him. My physical battles, yeah, I got physical battles. I know you do too, but guess what? They're only temporary because one day I'm going to be in heaven and I'm going to be moving like I've never moved before, and it's going to be great and it's going to be wonderful, and I'm going to watch some of you there and I'm going to say, man, when I saw you, you could barely move, but when we get there, it ain't gonna be like that no more. And all the stuff that you and I face, nothing matters because the tomb's empty. And church, that's good news. And so we've got to leave here celebrating today, not because of good words we heard, not because of great songs we heard, because this truth changes everything. Because this truth, the fact that Jesus rose from the grave, that tomb is empty, means that when you and I walk out of here, I don't have to care about anything. Why? Because I've already won. I'm not fighting for any reason. I've already won. You want to tell me I'm wrong? Fantastic. I know I've already won. God's going to use this to glorify him. If I am wrong, he's going to use it to glorify him. If I'm not wrong, he's going to use it to glorify him. If I have to deal with something, if I have adversity that comes in my life, if I have an emotional, mental, spiritual battle, whatever it is I'm facing, God's going to use it to glorify him. And so it does not matter. And that is freedom that comes in Christ. Y'all, I promise you, because of this gospel, because this is true, nothing else matters. My prayer for you today is that as you celebrate Resurrection Sunday, as you celebrate Easter in the empty tomb, you will fully give in to this mentality that nothing else matters. And it will change how you live your life because it will give you freedom to experience a relationship with Christ like you've never had before. God, I love you so much. Thank you for today. Father, thank you for the empty tomb. God, yes, thank you for the cross. Thank you for your work of redemption on the cross where you suffered and you died. And God, in that we find forgiveness of sins, and that's remarkable. But Lord, in your resurrection, we find hope, we find life, we find joy, and God, we find the freedom to say, because the tomb is empty, God, nothing else matters. Father, my prayer is that as we've heard these words today, that they will resonate in our hearts, in our lives, in our minds this week, this year. And that God, as we celebrate the empty tomb, we will realize, man, we have such hope in the victory that is already won for us on behalf of what you did through your Son on that third day. Lord, I pray that as we worship you now, our song would lift in a new way because we're free and we've already won. God, we love you. We thank you for this day. Help us to celebrate you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.